Hold on now. Good. Good morning, everybody. My talk today is following on a series of talks that we're doing about healthy churches. So we've had a few already. I think mine's number three in the series. And today I'm speaking about unity. So my sort of title for today's talk is Healthy Churches Live Out Unity. I thought what we could do to start with is just get into small groups just where you are. If you don't know the people that you're sitting next to, then say hello, introduce yourselves. And I've got a little question for you just to talk about, just for a couple of minutes. And that question is this: what's the point of unity? Now, that can be from a church context, which is obviously what I'm going to speak about today, but it could be from a social context or a work context or a sort of global human race kind of context. What's the point of unity? Have a chat with yourselves, and then I'll ask for a few comments back from you in a minute. To shout a few things at me, hopefully relevant to the question. Stronger together, excellent. Anything else about unity? Good, okay. So when we're united, God is more likely to bless us and to do good things, yeah? Achieve common goals, that's right. That's one of the things I've got written down here, actually. More together than we can apart. Yeah, good. All right, yeah, bringing generations together. That's right, yeah, sort of different people, different ideas. We can still be united together. Good, okay. Well, so I've written a few down here myself, which, yeah, we mostly agree on. So, yeah, this idea of achieving more together than we do on our own. I think it's something that... like, you know, the Bruce Lee films, when he's, you know, doing all his karate moves, and there's, the bad guys don't seem to have figured this out. The bad guys sort of stand around him in a circle, and they attack him like one, and then the next one, and then the next one. I think, well, actually, if they all just attacked him together, then surely, you know, you could just jump on him. I mean, how many guys can he take at once? But no, they just kind of come one, and then he beats that guy up, and then the next guy comes. No, we can achieve more together. And yeah, concentrating on our wider goals together rather than sort of individual glory. You'll know with my sermons, I often use football analogies, so apologies for that if you're not into football. But hopefully you can appreciate what I'm saying anyway. Sometimes after a football match, there may be a player that's maybe scored a hat-trick. They've scored 3 goals... but actually their team has lost. So it's interesting interviewing them, because actually they're like, well, yeah, you know, scored 3 goals, that was nice, but actually, you know, the team lost the game. And so, yeah, we need to be focusing on, you know, our wider goals rather than our individual glory, the things that we've done on our own. I've also got supporting each other. And then this idea of keeping peace and order. You know, we like peace and order, don't we? And actually, again, we achieve more through that. I've got a few more things that are there. So yeah, and this idea of sort of saving energy. I don't know what you feel about that, but for me, you know, conflict, disunity, it takes energy, doesn't it? Which we can actually save that energy by being united together. So my main text for this morning is from Ephesians 4. Quite an obvious choice, really, because like the kind of subheading for Ephesians 4 is unity in the body of Christ. So let's read these few passages, bits together. It says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Have I gone on too far? Yeah. Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led the host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he who has also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every point with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I'm going to be using these texts to pull out a few comments about unity and some other verses as well. So first of all, I'm asking, well, why should we desire unity? Why is that a sort of a good thing? And the answer is obviously that actually God desires unity. And we're saying here in the verses that I've just read, eager. I was using that word. We're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it's something that we want because God wants it for us. And also we find it somewhere else. Here we go in John 17. Jesus is actually praying for the disciples, but also for us as well. And I was actually quite touched, really, when I read this verse, because it so clearly mentions us. It says, I do not ask for these only, i.e. his disciples that were gathered with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. And that's us, isn't it? So this is definitely a prayer for us as well, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and that I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, and I have given to them, that they may be the one even as we are one, and I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. So in this verse, it's full of it, isn't it? I in you, you in me, we're one together. Definite unity. And we know that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one, and that's how God, that's how Jesus wants us to be. And remember that later on in Ephesians 5, actually, the next chapter, Paul is hinting that actually the church, us, we are like the bride of Christ. You know, it's a big deal. You know, we are very, very important to Jesus, both individually, but also as a church as well. So what's the point of unity? Why do we desire unity? Well, God desires unity. Some other verses here in Acts and Ephesians, that's showing this idea that actually God died for unity. Jesus died on the cross for unity. It says there in Acts chapter 20, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So say Jesus died for this idea of a unified church. And also, say in Ephesians here, a bit earlier on, that, you know, he's reconciling us. So he's died because of the work that he's done in reconciling us with God. And that's also an idea of unity, isn't it? That's the gospel message, that we were separated from God, and that Jesus dying on the cross has united us back together with God. So this idea of unity is, of course, extremely important. What else? What else should we desire unity? Well, we've already mentioned it when I asked you to have a chat amongst yourselves. Unity makes us strong. And we've got this this famous verse in Ecclesiastes about working together. You know, if two are better than one, because they achieve more together as they do apart. If one fall, the other will lift up his fellow. And it says, they're very famous, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And there, different people think that means different things. I think it's quite common to be read at weddings, when we think about those three cords as being the man, the wife, and God. But it could mean other things as well. It could mean, you say, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it could be us as a church being that three-cord rope. I've got a little illustration that goes with this, which involves some quite strange objects, actually. I've got, what's this, anyway, 8 litres of water there. What else have I got in my bag? Electric drill. Of course, as you do. And I've also got some toilet roll. Now, despite what a certain advert might tell you, toilet paper is indeed soft. And it is indeed quite long, but is it strong, really? It's not exactly an engineering material, is it? We're not really thinking of sort of using this for anything that it requires any great strength. It is not strong at all. But there's things that we can do using this material here to actually make it stronger. Dave, could you give me a hand, please? And demonstrate. I'm aware that there may be people listening to this recording afterwards, so I should just explain that now I've got my toilet roll, and I'm unwinding it, and I'm making three longish pieces, and I'm giving Dave them to hold there, and then I'm going to spread them out. I'm going to just break them so they're only the same length. And then I'm going to get my electric drill, going to open it up, and in one end, I'm going to twist the toilet paper like so, and then pop it into the chuck, tighten it up. Now, the electric drill is not essential to this process, but it does make it a lot quicker, and may I say, a little bit more fun as well. So now I'm just going to twist those three cords together like so. And now I think you'll agree we've got something that's definitely stronger. Okay, now it's still not exactly very strong. So if we see what we can do now. No, it's quite strong, isn't it? Definite improvement. Thank you very much, Dave. But actually, I've gone a step further. And I've created this. I know, thank you very much. Yeah, so what this is three cords of toilet roll, which are then plaited, and then I made three of those, and then I plaited those three together. So I've got a rope here. I've made myself a rope out of toilet paper. And this is actually very strong. So I'm going to demonstrate that by lifting up my 8 litres of water. That's what the water's for. I look round my house to say, well, yeah, what's kind of weighty that I can bring with me. So this is an excellent opportunity for it to embarrass me, isn't it, and let me down. But there you go. I'm lifting 8 litres of water with some toilet paper. Toilet paper is not very strong, but when we unify, when we join together, when we tie ourselves closely together, we get a lot stronger. You can have a look at that afterwards if you wish. Just to make sure that I've not cheated, it's definitely all toilet paper there. There's no sort of hidden stuff in there. So yeah, unity makes us strong. Next question is, well, unity in what? What is it that we want to be unified together in? And again, if we go back to our verses in Ephesians, it tells us we need to be unified in our calling. It says, we're urging you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. One body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. So we need to be unified in our calling. And what's our calling? Well, I'll remind you, our calling is to make disciples. This is basically one of the first things, the first recorded thing that Jesus says when he starts his ministry, when he's like, right, I'm off, gonna do the work that God has called me to do. So the first thing he does is, he walking by the Sea of Galilee, sees two brothers, Simon, confusingly called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net for fishermen. And the first thing he says to them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So the first thing he says is about making disciples in other nations. And actually the last thing that he says as well, after he's been crucified on the cross, he rises again and he's gathered some disciples on the hill, and he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's pretty sort of definite stuff, isn't it? So it's the first thing that Jesus says, and it's the last thing that Jesus says. Make disciples. And our calling is also to become more like Christ. You know, that's, again, a big part of what church should be about. It's about learning and practicing how to become more like Christ. I've got some verses here, first from Galatians, Galatians 2 verse 20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, this idea that we are Christ now on the earth, that is part of our role as a church, is to be Jesus, to be Christ on the earth. Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And also our calling is to love God and love our neighbour. There's again famous verses from Matthew where someone comes up to Jesus and says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And God tells him, Jesus tells him, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. But Jesus is a generous chap, and he gives him a sort of buy one, get one free deal. The person that asked the question, he only asked for the first one, but Jesus said, well, here's a freebie for you, here's the second one. The second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So our calling is to love God, love our neighbour, to become more like Christ, and to make disciples. That is really what we should be unified together to do. That should be the core of what we are about. So, we're all called to be the same then, right? If we're all supposedly unified together, we've got sort of one mission to do, we've got sort of one calling, then, well, we're all doing the same thing then, aren't we? We're all the same. Well, no, of course. We want unity, not uniformity. Uniformity means that we're all the same. And we're not all the same. This picture here I've got on the screen is of the stormtroopers from the Star Wars films. And, you know, they all look exactly the same, don't they? And they all kind of behave in the same way as well. You know, they're marching around, they're doing their jobs and their tasks, and they're doing it in a very sort of rigid and structured way. And the Rebel Alliance, the good guys, you know, they're not like that at all, are they? They're all individuals. They've all got their own different skills, different ways of doing things, different attitudes. And they overcome, don't they? They overcome the Imperial, the Stormtroopers and Darth Vader, etc. And it's, so that's that flexibility that we want. It's that creativity that we want. It's those different skills that we want. We don't want a church where everybody is exactly the same, which is good, because we don't have that, do we? We don't have a church where everyone is the same. And again, it's said here in Ephesians 4 about this idea of the body of Christ made up of many parts, and we've all got our part to play. Again, that's explained in other parts of the Bible as well. But say, when each part is working properly, yeah? So when every person who's got their job to do is doing it well, then the church will also do well. So we want unity without uniformity. And that's the same for churches as well. You know, in Rugeley, I don't know how many churches there are in Rugeley, but you know, there are many, aren't there? And they've got their different ways of doing things, different styles, different people, different locations, obviously, as well. That's an important sort of difference between them. So here, we want unity with those other churches in Rugeley, wherever possible. And, you know, I think as Rugeley Community Church, I think we do a good job. I think Richard does a good job of meeting with those other churches, of trying to find that common ground and try to do things with them together. Because we should have, say, the same calling, the same mission from God. It's just that we're acting out in slightly different ways. Now, sometimes that's not always possible. Sometimes there are churches or organisations that call themselves churches. Actually, there's something quite fundamentally wrong with their understanding of the Bible and who's who and what, you know, what's a good thing to do. But say, wherever possible, we want to be united with other churches in our area and region and nationally as well. So that's something that you can pray for us as elders, is for those tough decisions where say, well, we'd like to work with you, but we're not sure because of these issues. And we're stuck together, are we? Are we stuck together? Well, no, again, we want unity, not union. What I mean by that is that, you know, we have a choice. We have a choice to be here as a family. It's not something that we're sort of forced into. It's not a religious thing. Oh, well, we must go to church, and it must be this church, because that's where my mother went, and that's where her mother went, and it becomes a religious thing. We're not stuck together. We're not locked in a way that we can't escape from. I heard an illustration on unity where it said, if you get a dog and a cat and you tie their tails together, I know, just an illustration, and throw them over a washing line, again, just an illustration, then you don't have unity, you have union. Okay, so that they're physically joined together, but there's no unity there. And so, yeah, my first thought was, well, that sounds pretty weird and pretty cruel, actually. And then I thought, well, actually, maybe they do have unity, because actually they have the same heart, actually, at that point. They both want to be separated from each other and get off the washing line. So I thought, well, actually, maybe they do have unity. But then I thought, well, no, actually, they don't, because they won't work together in that situation. I don't think the cat and the dog would work together to untie themselves and get off the washing line. And that's part of what unity is about. It's about working together. And then I thought, maybe I'm thinking about this far too much, and I stopped thinking about that illustration. This picture on the right, you know, this is what we want. That's what we say, we heard in the verses that I've read previously, that the part of the point of unity is that the wider world recognizes our unity together, and they go, wow, that's different. You guys actually get along, it seems, and you guys actually love each other, and you're patient with each other. That's different. That's different to how the world sees us. And yeah, we're surprised, aren't we, when a dog and a cat want to be that close to each other in that kind of friendship way. So that's what it should be. It should be surprising how united we are. And the picture on the left, the cat and the dog sort of fighting each other. You know, we don't want fighting in this church, of course, but we are allowed to disagree. You know, we are allowed to have opinions. We are allowed to put our point across. You'll know that we had a directors meeting yesterday. Dave's already mentioned it. And, you know, we have unity in terms of we know what we want to achieve. We have a vision for what we want to do. But we did not all agree about how we should get there and what steps we should take. So again, that's a challenge for us. Yes, unity, but say we are allowed to disagree and have our own opinions. So how do we live out unity? I've got here a sort of two columns, and these columns have got jobs, tasks, instructions that we read from Ephesians 4. On the left, I've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors and teachers. And on the right, I've got humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. And I split them into two groups. And I know this isn't true, but you get the impression, don't you, that the jobs on the left, they're the glamorous jobs. They're the jobs that are, you know, in front. They're sort of centre stage jobs. They're the ones where we get, well, we tend to get more than our sort of share of glory for doing those. The ones on the right are more the simple jobs, I suppose. But they're both very, very important. Again, if I go back to my football analogy, it's a bit like, well, these jobs on the left here, these are almost like attacking jobs. These are the ones that we go and take ground with, that we do events with, that we sort of reach out with. And the jobs on the right are a bit like our defence. Yeah, they're the basic things that we need to do well. And you'll know from a football perspective, we need both. There's no point having a whole team of attackers on the field because you'll concede lots and lots of goals. And a team that's full of defenders, well, you're going to struggle to score. So they're both extremely important. So yeah, we need a church that's doing these things on the right well, being humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another. And actually, you know, sometimes these jobs on the left, they're the ones that kind of cause the problem sometimes. These are the ones that bring the division sometimes, particularly with teaching and pastoring people. Sometimes we'll say things to people that they don't like. We challenge them. We challenge their way of thinking. And yeah, most of the time, yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to kind of challenge people about how they're living their life and their priorities and what they're doing. But say sometimes that's where the issues come in. And sometimes it's because the people that are doing these, say, glamorous jobs, if you like, we get them wrong. And that's where we need grace. And it's mentioning grace here in Ephesians 4. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I read a few commentaries about that sentence, and it seems that people have got different ideas about what exactly this means. For some, they say, well, Christ's gift was dying for us, and therefore the grace that he's referring to here is infinite grace, because it's sort of according to the measure of what Jesus has done for us, then our grace is infinite. And other people have got a slightly different take on it, and they say, well, actually, it's a grace according to the measure of our gifting, i.e. the more that we do, the more grace that we have. And actually, it ends up being the same thing, because if you've always got enough grace, then grace is infinite, isn't it? Just depends whether you want to sort of give it as a big lump at the start, or whether you're kind of giving a bit more as you go along. It adds up to the same thing. So actually what that means is that the more responsibility that I have in the church, actually the more grace I need, because the more opportunity I have to mess up. So actually, you know, I need to say sorry a lot, and I need to exercise these gifts on the right. Be humble, be gentle, and patient, and you need to bear with me, and you need to bear with the leadership team here at Rishi Community Church, and we need to stay to bear with you. So yeah, to be a healthy church, let's bear with one another. Let's be different to the world. Let's leave our pride at the door and be humble, generous, patient, gentle with one another. A bit later on in the verses, it's talking here about maturity. And the verses are talking about maturity in the knowledge of God. Maturity in what we know God wants us to do, to living out our lives as Christ. And I think maturity also is about how we deal with unity as well. As a child, were we quick to anger? Were we quick to kind of snatch things off people? Were we quick to laugh and put people down when bad things happened? Hopefully, as we become more mature and we become adults, we actually behave differently. That behaviour is about being more united, about being humble, patient, generous, gentle with one another. So, and again, there's a warning in here that if we behave like children, then we'll be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by crafting it in deceitful schemes. And I would say that, yeah, one of the deceitful schemes that the evil one will have over our church is those little annoyances, those things that people do or people say that get our backs up, that make us don't make us feel nice about each other, the way that we behave to each other. So again, these verses are encouraging us to be mature about how we deal with people. And I just want to say that again, you know, there are little things and there are big things as well. There are times when actually we need to challenge people's behaviour. And again, that's part of my job as an elder at the church, is to again take on that difficult task of occasionally, say, challenging people's behaviour. Sometimes actually bearing with one another isn't the right course of action. yeah, let's say you know, someone is coming into to church and they're drunk, and we say, oh, here they come, you know, drunk at church again. Oh, never mind, bear with them. Well, no, actually, sometimes we need to challenge people and we need to discipline people. You know, there is a time for doing that, and there's a time for bearing with one another. So true unity, again, openness, having the same mind, one heart, same goal. And what is it that we're united in at this church? Well, yeah, we're united in the calling that God has given us. And we also have this vision. This is what we want as a church. So to build a church that is God-centered, Bible-filled, and Spirit-filled. You've heard these ones already. I'm going to leave them on the screen. What I'd like us to do is, you know, the groups that you had when we were discussing about what unity is, I think I'd like you to get back into those groups, and I'd like us to pray these things into our church. Actually, we would be united through this vision that we've got about being the people that God has called us to be, serving His purposes through our place, region, and world that we live in. Let's pray that into us, that we can start having that wider picture. To be a people in God's kingdom, locally committed, yet globally connected. Let's pray that in. Desire to see people introduced to Christ and become members of a community where they can grow to maturity, and this community would make an impact for God's kingdom. Let's pray for new faces in this church. Let's pray for an influx of people that are coming to this building just to see what we're about. See spiritual regeneration of this town, the surrounding area, come through proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and expressed through social action. Let's pray that in. Let's pray about what we can do as a church to reach out and start to regenerate spiritually our land. Let's call God to do that. Inclusive of all ages, classes, races, helping them find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement through Jesus Christ. Let's encourage one another to continue to do that in our church. And have a facility that will be a resource centre to both the community we live in and for the kingdom of God. Again, that's what we want to achieve in terms of our building and what we do with it. So let's pray for that as well. Is that okay? Can we get back into those small groups about, you know, doesn't matter how many or how few. Let's just pray unity into each other and unity into what we want to achieve here.